So alongside your shark spotting project you have, you are also starting to work on a bushfire management project that uses machine learning as well. Where did the idea for this project come from?
Yeah, so this is a completely separate project. The shark project is a collaboration between Macquarie University and the Department of Primary Industries. That's wrapping up now, and I've moved jobs. So I'm now a program director at a company called Trillium Technology, which is a specialist company bringing academia and private industry into a room in order to develop AI and space-based solutions to grand challenge problems with an ethical basis on four humanity challenges. At the beginning of the year, like everyone else, we were very shocked with the ferocity of the bushfires in the 2019-2020 season. The New South Wales Bushfire Inquiry released a bushfire report which made 76 different recommendations, and quite a few of those involve data. The Australian Space Agency, along with Geoscience Australia, Bureau of Meteorology and CSIRO, also released concurrently a report into using satellite data to manage bushfires. We wanted to do something about it, and Trillium has experience running these grand challenge, what we call research sprints. We work with NASA and ESA in the US and Europe, and have previously looked at disaster resilience around floods, and also space missions around asteroid mining and mining on the moon for NASA. And so the experience there is ideally suited for organizing a grand challenge around bushfires. So we organized something called the Bushfire Data Quest, which brought a whole network of partners together to try and tackle some of the scientific questions around bushfires. We brought together a set of teams, which were the best and brightest researchers from the local area, so Australia and New Zealand, and then set them loose on some data sets over a very concentrated time period to do a research sprint. And these research sprints were quite well scoped, in the sense that we had very specific questions that the teams had to answer, and we had organized in advance with some of the data providers how to access their data sets.
So what exactly happens in this data quest? What issues around bushfires are you looking at, and what technologies are you using to investigate them?
So with the Bushfire Data Quest, we were looking at three different themes. We were looking at assessing fuel in the landscape using satellites. So this is looking at what the fuel loading is that translates to a risk of fire, and making a map of that. One of the key inputs for fire risk is also how moist that fuel is. And so there's a specific measurement called fuel moisture content, which you can also measure from satellite images. We were working with Geoscience Australia and CSIRO to use data from a European Space Agency satellites called their Sentinel network. And Sentinel 2 is an optical-based satellite that passes over Australia every 5 days or so. And Sentinel-1 is a similar satellite or pair of satellites, which uses active radar scanning to do a similar set of images, but in the radio regime. Our first DataQuest team was looking at assessing fuel moisture content using the combination of these two data sets. Our second team was doing a very similar thing, but taking a different approach. They were applying something called image segmentation analysis, which is a classic machine learning method, using neural networks, and they were looking at just letting the machine learn directly from the images to assess the risk of fire. And they built a model which allows you to take the satellite data, fold in some weather variables in a data fusion approach, and then come out with a risk map and a prediction of where a fire will spread to if it ignites at a particular point. So those were the two mapping challenges. We also had a challenge on early detection, which is using satellite data to detect a fire from orbit really, really early, just when the fire starts. One of the most useful assets to do that is something called the Himawari 8 geostationary satellite, which is a Japanese space agency's satellite that they have made available for use as an open data set to the community. the data from that satellite gets streamed down to the ground stations every 10 minutes. So every 10 minutes, you can get a view of Australia and Japan and the full disk of the Earth from the orbit, and that just stays fixed in space. So it's the same image, just every 10 minutes having a change. Now, usually this is used to monitor weather, but because there's an infrared camera on the satellite, you can also monitor fire hotspots. Of course, it's not a simple task because you have to take into account whether there's a hot rock that's been baking in the sun that shows up as a hotspot as well, or whether there's some changes in the landscape, which can get misidentified as a fire from day to day. One way to do that is to use machine learning to process the data. And that's what our team did as well, is that they proved a data detection pipeline, which used various different image pre-processing techniques and also something called image super resolution to really localize where the fire is. And then finally, there was a fourth team who looked at detecting extreme fire behavior. So some of the most classic images from the previous fire season have been of pyrocumulonimbus clouds rising over a giant fire. And this is when a fire creates its own weather because it's so hot and you get these convection columns that entrain water into a giant cloud, which then can actually form a thunderstorm and then spark further fires through lightning strikes downwind. And so they were looking at using satellite data to detect the formation of one of these clouds and give early warning.
How will the results from the data quest be implemented into the current processes for dealing with bushfire emergencies?
When we think about developing a new technology, we favor a system developed by NASA called the Technology Readiness Level. And that's it's a scale, like the Richter scale for earthquakes, except more positive, and goes from level one to level nine. Level one is a proof of concept idea that can be used as the basis for starting some research. And level nine is a fully deployed product in the field and validated completely working in the environment in which it's been designed for. And all of the levels in between essentially develop the research and then test the individual components before integrating it into a whole product and then testing that. So what the DataQuest is designed to do is bootstrap the research from a concept up to technology readiness level two, which is where you do a proof of concept prototype that allows you to say, this is solvable and here's a quick demonstrator, but you haven't classified all of the edge cases, or you haven't figured out, there's maybe some components missing, but the general idea works and has proven to work. At the end of the data quest, we have a set of technology demonstrators which are open source. So they're being released to the public in order to develop further. But of course, we're hoping to lead that process. What we would really like to see is some of this intelligence getting built into the command and control infrastructure that the Rural Fire Service and the fire management agencies use. So from conversations with firefighters, we know that there are plenty of challenges just to make use of this sort of data. So we're looking at a holistic approach and currently investigating options to help get the technology into the field, but we know it's going to be a relatively long process. So we're going to hopefully help with that, and we're in talks with different actors and agencies in order to get this moved on. But really what needs to happen next is there needs to be a development effort to get these technologies developed to a point where you can trial them. And then the key thing to do here is to validate them. So they're no good if we can say, great, we have this shiny technology which you can now use, unless you have people believe in it and unless we can convince ourselves that they actually work as advertised. And so the next step after developing these further is to deploy them into trials in the field and involve all of the stakeholders like the Rural Fire Service and the predictive services in that process so that they can build confidence.